Last week, we talked about the motto of our church and kind of laid a foundation for why this church exists. But from that, there are certain things that we want to happen. Our motto is the guiding principle that guides and directs our church. But from that, we want some things to happen, some things that will give our church balance, will give our church purpose, will help us fulfill that guiding principle. And as we look at our church, there are five things that as a church we want to be doing, we want to be involved in, and we want to keep our church balanced in these areas. If I were to ask this morning, let me ask it this way. How many people here this morning have been coming to this church since before we bought this building? Raise your hand. Okay, so that means before the year 2000. How many of you have been coming to this church for at least 3 years? Raise your hand. Okay, that's the majority. Now, how many, and I didn't mean include those before that. How many have been coming to this church for only 2 years? Raise your hand. 2 years or less. Okay, a bunch of you. The model gave us a guiding principle, which is over my shoulder. From that, five things we want to accomplish, five principles. And I can list these things in a bunch of different ways. Let me do it this way this morning. Number one. We're here to communicate God's word. We're here to communicate God's word. And behind that, you can put in the word evangelism. Evangelism, or outreach as we call it here. Why don't you notice disciples are here with Jesus after he rose from the dead, and they're asking a bunch of questions about when God is going to set up his kingdom. What time will God do that? And Jesus said, look, that's not for you to know. Do you ever have questions about some things related to God? And you go to the Bible and you don't get a full answer? I mean, I think the Bible gives us all the answers we need to know and all the answers to guide and direct in our lives, but there are still some things that, you know, are kind of things that I'd really like to know this. And you go to the Bible and it doesn't say this is your answer. I think there's some things that we're not going to get answers to until we get to heaven. There's just some things that, you know, even within Christianity, people debate and we don't have clear-cut answers, and we're not going to necessarily know those answers until we get to heaven. And you know what? We don't need to know those answers. What we need to know is what God has told us, and we need to do what God has told us. I love what Bob said in his prayer. You know, it's not just bringing God glory, but it's God's word, God in us. Becoming what God wants us to be. Lord's telling them, look, you don't need to know those answers, but here's what you do need to know. It's down in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Do you know you can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit? The power to live the Christian life is found in the Holy Spirit, and we should never, you know, not talk about that. We need the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit, and you cannot serve God without the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and when you get that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be my witness. He wanted them to be God's witness. Notice, first of all, in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He wanted them to take the gospel message throughout the world. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people how they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. explain people that the only way they can have a relationship with God is if they have a relationship with God's Son. Help them to realize that the gospel is the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. And the only way we have a relationship with God is by faith, believing what Jesus did will bring us into that relationship with God. The Bible says no one comes to Him unless God draws them. When God draws us, we need to respond in faith to the gospel message. One of the reasons I started this church is because I felt that there were people not hearing the gospel in this area. And churches needed to be more active in getting the gospel to this area. And I praise God that since that time, in the last 27 years, more churches have been started to reach this area and are more active in getting the gospel to this area. This gospel is in desperate, or this area is in desperate need of the gospel. You know, we are an area that is very religious, but without God. There are many churches in our area, but not many people who know Jesus. And we need to take the gospel message to our area, and we need to be witnesses in our area, and we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this area. And that's why as a church, we do a bunch of different things to try to reach this area. But let me say this. Some people get all caught up in programs. And I want you to know, programs by themselves are never going to reach people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. As a church, we need both programs, but even more than programs, we need passion. We need a passion to tell people about Jesus Christ and to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. We can set up 20 programs in this church and say, you know what, we are a great church because we got 20 programs and the church down the street only has 18 and we're reaching people with the gospel. That's not what it's all about. It is about every person realizing having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and because they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they become passionate about telling everyone else. So we have a bunch of people walking out the door to tell people about Jesus. That's how we reach this world with the gospel message. Our church has programs, and we probably have some programs some of you don't even know about. Let me tell you about one of them. We have a program called Welcome One Ministry. And in that ministry, every single month, we send out 100 postcards to brand new people who have moved in this area to invite them to come to our church so we can tell them about Jesus Christ. Terry, where's Terry? She's in the nursery. Terry is in our church today because of that Welcome One Ministry. Because she, through that ministry, came to this church. Terry was already saved, but she had no church in this area, and she came here because of that ministry. So we have programs, and we do a bunch of different things in this church to locally reach people with Jesus Christ. But far more important than that is that every single one of us individually becomes a witness. We hand out tracts. We go and we tell people about Jesus. When you have family and friends and you have get-togethers, you try to reach people with Jesus Christ. Your coworker, you talk to them about Jesus Christ. The person who delivers you the newspaper, your mailman, your next-door neighbor. When you go to the grocery store, we're telling people about Jesus Christ, telling them what God has done in your life. That's what God wants us to do. And along with that, we do programs. As a church, we do programs. As individuals, we go out and we tell people about Jesus. You know, when we leave here this morning, I don't know how many people are here, but we need to have a whole bunch of witnesses, evangelists, walking out that door to tell people about Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, do you have a passion for Christ to tell people about Jesus? Do you have a passion for the lost? My father's always telling us about people that he met in the mall and at the restaurant and all different places, and he's telling them about Jesus Christ. We all need that kind of passion for the lost. Think of the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10 talks about the fact that if it were possible, he'd be willing to take someone else's place in hell so that they could go to heaven. What a passion. In Acts chapter 5, it talks about the church in Jerusalem, that first church, and how they had filled their city with the message of Jesus Christ. We need a passion for souls. We need to be looking for every opportunity we can to be a witness for Jesus Christ here. And not only here, but around the world. I hope you take the time, but if you look on the side wall, it says the Great Commission. Under that, there are letters from our missionaries that are going around the world to tell people about Jesus Christ. You know, we have, in South America, we have the Fries who were just here telling us how they reached the Indians. We have the Ovenels in Africa. We have the Aboyos who are actually up in Canada, but they are reaching the Chinese. We have the Liberty Baptist Fellowship that's starting churches around our country. We have Johnny Wilson who is actually, think about this, he is going to jails in America and around the world telling teenagers about Jesus. And he's going to jails in Chile and in Central America, jails that even the police and the local pastors will not go in with him because they're too dangerous, so that he can tell them about Jesus Christ. Think about it. That's what our church here is doing around the world. I think of our ministry on our internet site, where you can go and you can listen to the sermons, the messages from Sunday morning and Sunday night, open-door.com. We have pastors in the Philippines. We have pastors around the United States that are calling us back and telling us, look, we're listening to the messages. And all that's fine, but let me say again, there needs to be a passion in our hearts to pray for people, and to tell people about Jesus Christ so that we can reach this world with the gospel. And we need to be doing that as a church. And if we ever stop trying to reach the lost as a church, then we just need to shut the doors. Because if God saved us so that each of us could just go to heaven, then he would have done that. But he left us here that we might serve him. You know, Bob prayed about the people in Haiti. I was watching the other night. This lady had lost her 4 children in the earthquake. And she lost her 5th child at the hospital. Think about it. 5 children she had lost because of this earthquake. She was laying on the ground, and her husband had to hold her down because she was literally going insane. Those people need to hear about Jesus Christ. And thankfully, there are ministries that are going down and reaching them and doing things that tell them about Jesus. But, you know, I went to the doctors the other day. What day was it? Friday? Thursday. Thursday at 3 o'clock. We went to a specialist. My son had hurt his hand. And we had called our doctor, and I don't know what was going on, but nothing was happening. So I got on the phone. I called a doctor. We got in to see the doctor, a specialist who's not a Christian. But we talked about God. And we were talking back and forth. He said, you know, when the world starts falling apart, nobody calls for a lawyer. They call for doctors and they call for ministers. He was a doctor in Vietnam, and he said all around him people were, if you know anything about the 10th Offensive, which was a real bad time during Vietnam, he was there. He said people were dying all around him. The only people they were calling for were doctors and ministers. When there are problems in this world, people need to hear from God through believers, through Christians. And while I was there, the nurse, she said, you know, can I ask you a question? I said, what is it? She said, is our world going to really fall apart in 2012? You laugh, but people are scared to death. They're scared to death with all this stuff about 2012 and scared to death about all that's going on in the world. In fact, you know, she said to me, she said, the more we are here as a facility, the more we're seeing teenagers and kids and even adults coming in, she said, there's no direction in their lives. So that's right. They need to hear it from God. They need to hear it from God's word. They need families that are staying together, families that are strong, because when families fall apart, countries fall apart. And no country has ever withstood the breakup of the family. And families are falling apart in America. Listen, people need to hear from Christians about Jesus. We need to be involved in evangelism. We need to communicate God's word to this world. Number two, we need to celebrate God's presence. Turn with me to John chapter 4. We need to celebrate God's presence. Let me say, when it comes to outreach, I want you to write in a name next to outreach. Write in the name Kibbe. Kibbe's the main guy in our church that's helping me to try to reach through our church, through the programs in our church, this world with the gospel. I'm going to try to give you a name for each of these areas because I'm going to want you to pray about something. Celebrate God's presence. Worship. Right in there, worship behind this. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 19. Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. The God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. We come here to worship, to exalt our Master, to exalt God our Father. We celebrate God's presence in our lives by gathering together to worship God. The Samaritans used to argue with the Jews over where they would worship. The Samaritan woman kind of is trying to get Jesus off track and interrupts him here about worship. She says, look, where do we worship? Our place or yours? It's like people today who want to argue over whether we worship in a building or whether we worship in homes. It's not the issue. It's not the issue where you worship. I believe small groups are great, and I believe small groups in homes are great. We have them, we do them, we've done them, we will do them. We worship in our building too. Look, it's not the issue of worship, it's not where. The issue of worship is what? You've probably heard this phrase in our church. You've probably heard us pray this. You've heard me pray it. But I want you to know Jesus' answer to her question of where is not where, but what. Notice verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit refers to our heart. He's saying we must worship God from the inside, from who we are, from our heart, the depths of our life. Truth is according to God's truth, God's word. So when we must worship according to God's truth and from our heart. If you are here and you are not involved in heart worship, and you are just going through the motions, I want you to know you're not worshiping God. If we gather together and we do not use the Bible, or we use the Bible and we twist it, or we use something else, and we are not worshiping according to the truth of God's word, we're not worshiping. We're not true worshipers. Let me say, worship also is not just singing. Drives me crazy when I go to a church and they say, now we're going to worship, as if the only part of worship is singing. Singing is a part of worship, but it is not all of worship. Fellowship is part of worship. The people who are back in nursery right now and they are serving God in nursery, I want you to know they are worshiping God. Preaching is part of worship. Later on, you're going to give. That is part of worship. All of this is part of worship. And I want you to know, too, that worship is not just when you are here in this building. Worship should happen every single day in our lives. Whether you are in a small group time, whether you are home alone by yourself, whether you are here gathered as a group of people, we ought to be worshiping every day of our life. Because worship is not necessarily a place. It's a heart, and it's according to God's word. We are to be celebrating our master. We are to be celebrating God's presence. Frank is the guy that helps us with this here in our church. You can write his name down. See his name, when you see Frank over worship on the back of your bulletin, that does not mean that Frank is the guy that leads our singing, because singing is only a part of worship. What it means is if that you are here and you are too hot, or you are too cold, don't blame me. Blame Frank. Because you know what? That's part of our worship. He's here to make sure that as we gather as a church, everything that we need to do to become part of our worship is done. I mean, he's over the parking lot. He's over making sure that someone greets you. He's over trying to help you find the seat if you need to do that. He's here to make sure someone's running our projection system, someone's at the sound, someone's doing the overheads. You know, he's here to help with all the things that we do as we worship God. Singing is a part of that. Do you know there are different styles of worship in church? But only our style is right. Do you know there are different ways, styles to worship God, and ours is not the only right way? Sadly, there are churches all around America that are splitting over singing. Some say, well, unless you just sing hymns, you are liberal. Some say, unless you sing choruses, you're dead. So there's a battle going on in churches over the style of worship. I want you to know both of those things are good. Our worship style out in the world is considered blended worship. What that means is that we sing both hymns and choruses. We are blended. But I want you to know, if a church just sang one or the other, it's okay. It's all right if you have a guitar in worship or don't. It's all right if you have drums in worship or don't. It's all right if you have a piano in worship or don't. There are some churches that worship God and they have no music whatsoever because they think it's wrong. To me, that's a little off, but it's okay if they want to worship God that way. The key is that it's coming from our heart and it's according to the truth of God's word. That's what Jesus said he's looking for. So we need to be involved in worship. Number three, we need to celebrate God's family. We need to celebrate God's family. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And if you want to put behind that in the parentheses, put fellowship. Celebrate God's family. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's family and members of God's household. You know, when you come to Jesus, you become part of God's household, part of God's family. That is why you can come to someone in a church, have never known them, and hug them and love them. The Bible talks about the church. It talks about the church as a whole, but most often it talks about the church as a local group of people meeting together to serve and worship God and do the things that we're talking about. And I believe we need to join a church, become part of a church family, and serve God through a church, a local church, and that is part of fellowship within a church. We are all part of God's family. There are people who say all the time, I don't really have a good family life, but I do at Open Door. Open Door is my family. And you know what? That's a good thing. Not that someone don't have a good family life, physical family, but for a church family to be thought of as your family, that's a good thing. We need to be fellowshipping with one another. We need to create with our church, and it just needs to happen also of people just fellowshipping together, spending time with one another. That is why as a church we do things to try to help create fellowship and create opportunities for people to spend time with one another and get together. But we need to do that as individuals. I think maybe the worst thing in this whole world is to be lonely. Feel like you're all alone. I think that's a horrible thing. In fact, you could go any place where you can get rid of that feeling. It ought to be a church. And you know, the sad thing is that some people, when they come to church, it hurts. Because we have people come to church who their husbands may not be with them, or maybe, you know, they're not married, so they're single people, so they're by themselves in life, and maybe they're widowed, or there's things going on in their life. So if you look at the life just in a general way, they're by themselves. They need to have people who care about them. I want you to know that our church did an awesome thing this week. And I really feel bad I couldn't be part of it, but I couldn't be part of it. But we had one of our senior members had a birthday, Althea. And several people in our church went to her house and helped her celebrate her birthday. I want you to know that's awesome. That's fellowship. That's caring about someone else other than yourself and reaching out to people and helping them to know they're not alone. And you're not. And that's what fellowship's about. I got to do this week. It's my wife's birthday, so I got to help her. No, she's not alone, so pray for me. Fellowship can happen in this building. It can happen in homes. It can happen on the street. We need to connect. We need to connect with one another. Kibbe actually is the person who helps us. Don't write his name down here, but he's the guy who helps try to connect people as they come to our church first time and get to know them. So if you've visited our church when you first visited, Kibbe's the guy that's giving you a welcome packet and, you know, being there to try to help you know that we care about you when you walk in the door. But fellowship needs to continue, and I want you to know right now we're stuck. We have no guy to lead this area except for me. And I want you to know I should not be the guy leading this area. For many years, we had a guy leading this area who's one of my great friends. And he did an awesome job, Charlie Keller. And missed that guy a lot. But he was here taking that area. And since his passing, you know, in reality, as a pastor, I'm responsible for all these areas to help us to do things in all these areas. But my job is to pass it on to someone else. And so we're looking for someone here. So I want you to pray that some guy will kind of step up and grow in his own personal life, become mature in his own personal life, grow spiritually, and say, I want to serve God. And, you know, maybe this is the area in the church that I can serve God. We're looking for a guy that will do that. Number four, we're here to educate God's family. We're here to educate God's family. discipleship. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And you're turning there. While you're turning there, I'm just going to read it because I read it last week. Colossians 1, 28 and 29, just for the sake of time. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Talked about this last week, that it is our job to help people become like Christ and mature them in their faith. You can write next to this Joe McNally. He's the guy doing that in our church. He's the head of our discipleship ministry. I've had the privilege to write actually three discipleship programs. We have Discipleship 1, which teaches the basics of Christian life. We have Discipleship 2 that kind of takes the individual discipleship, and then we pull people together in small groups for 10 weeks. And we teach further things about church life and living for God. And then there's Discipleship 3, again, that I've had the privilege to write. And I think it's five guys now that have gone through that, and we're teaching guys how to preach. Actually, it's four guys that have gone to learn how to preach God's word. Let me give you three C words. Would you write them down here? Character. Our church needs to teach people what to be. I want you to know, far more important than anything else in your life is who you are. You can serve God, but if your life's not right, that serving is meaningless. What matters is, who are you? Your character. Number two is content. Our church needs to teach people what to know. That's God's word, the truths and principles of God's word. And number three is the word commitment. Our church needs to teach people what to do, how to serve God. As I mentioned, we have Discipleship 1, 2, and 3. We have other kinds of things that are part of discipleship. Joe's the guy that helps us in that. The end result, our desire is that you come to our church over a period of time, you get to know Jesus better, you become more like Jesus Christ, and you serve God. Character, content, commitment. And number five, we are to demonstrate God's love. We are to demonstrate God's love. I want you to write down here the word ministry. Ministry. Acts chapter 2, let me read it to you. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. You can sit and listen if you want. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Ministry is demonstrating God's love. We are not, listen to me for a second. Listen to this. We are not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. We are not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. You are to take the love that God has poured in your heart, and you are to go out and help people to serve, to minister. You know, you walk in some churches, and the people want the pastor to do everything in the church. It's the pastor's job to, you know, visit in the hospital. It's a pastor's job to preach. It's a pastor's job to wash the floors. It's a pastor's job. And the list goes on, and everybody sits back and says, you know what, it's a pastor's job. And then when the pastor does anything, people sit back and say, well, you know, that pastor, He just thinks he's going to run everything. Isn't it wacky sometimes how we think? I want you to know, my job is to give you jobs. That's my job. My job is to give you jobs. According to Ephesians chapter 4, my job is to train you to serve. My job is to help you to find places, to help you to get involved in serving God. Now, again, don't get lost in this. Ministry is programs, but ministry also is my heart getting out and serving and helping people. So ministry is not just how many programs does your church have. Ministry is, are the people serving one another and in the community? So let me ask you this morning, what are you doing to serve God? What are you doing to serve God? And this doesn't start when you hit age 40. You can be five and find ways to serve God. Let me give you a name for this. I've given you names for the other areas. Let me give you a name for this. It's me. Now, it is my job to help people to serve, but we need someone who's going to help us with the programs and the ministry in the church. I want you to pray that we find a guy that will get involved in this area of the ministry of our church who will help us to oversee all the ministries that go on in our church. If you look at our church, you will find ladies serving, you will find guys serving, but what we're doing is we are looking, and my goal, the thing that I'm working towards, is five guys, one for each of these areas. That will serve God in our church. Who will be guys who are growing in their own spiritual life, who will be guys who are committed to God in that area in which they serve. So we have three of these guys. We need two more. If you look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see all kinds of ministries, but below the leadership team, you will see these five areas. One of the things I would like you to pray for in our church is for these two guys who will step in these two areas. And maybe those two guys are in our church, or maybe they haven't come yet. But that's my goal as pastor of this church, that we'll find two more guys. And while you're doing that, I want you to be praying for three guys that are already there that I've already mentioned for those areas. Of course, I want you to be praying about your involvement in our church and what you're going to do. Our leadership team, and we're going to be putting together our calendar tomorrow night for the coming year for 2010 of our church. Our ministry team looks at these five areas and we try to balance them in our church. We do the best we can, pray for us, that we will balance all five of these areas in our church so that we will be a balanced church. But as we look at all five of these areas, there's the guiding principle behind my head. Let's pray. Father God, help us. Help us, Lord, to be a church that will be pleasing in your sight. And Father, as pastor of this church, there are things I'd like to see, and there are ways that we can grow, Lord, to help us to do that. Help me, Lord, Father, to be the pastor that I should be. Help me, Father, to fix the errors in which I fail. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that brings you glory in all areas of our church life so that you may be praised. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.